more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life and more abundantly. For this matchless favor magnify the name of our gracious Savior, wherefore glory came. Let the saints adore him for his wondrous word, sailing our redemption through the crimson flood. More abundantly, more abundantly, than in my heart. And more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life and more abundantly. Come to him believing, hearken to his call. Come to him receiving, yield to him your all. Jesus, when I send you, when to him you flee, he will grant us blessing more abundantly.
That they might have life, and more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening, and we just thank the Lord that it is him that gave us the more abundant life, and without Christ tonight, we don't really have any life. We are existing. Without Jesus, we're dead men or women. Walk us not right. I want to turn this evening till Exodus 12. And the Lord bless each one that's came along the night. And we know Brother Gary and the family's on holidays. And also, I meant to say, please keep Sister Jane in prayer, Jackie's wife. She gave her testimony in one of her services. She's been in hospital with her kidneys. She's not too well. Please keep Sister Jane in prayer that the Lord will really touch her. Maybe we could stand while I read this evening from Exodus 12. And my key verse is verse 2, but I want to read the first 13 verses of Exodus chapter 12, and this is instructions for the Passover. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And I want to take a phrase from that, the beginning of months, but we want to read on. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month they shall take to themselves every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides of the posts, and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not it off it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs, and with the portion thereof, pure tints thereof. And ye shall let nothing off it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth off it until the morning, ye shall burn it with fire. Not shall ye eat it with your loins girded, with shoes on your feet, on your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Let's bow our heads again this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for your precious word. And we bless you tonight that you were the word, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And Lord, we pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight to be in the service, and that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit, to come against every other spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And I take the blessed Holy Spirit to help me right now in the precious name of Jesus. And we say amen to all that's been prayed this evening for this family, Porter family. Will you comfort them, strengthen them, bless them? At this time we pray. And Lord, for Sister Jackie's Brother Jackie's wife, we pray for Jen this evening. Lord, that you'll touch her in her body, make her whole, make her well. You've healed her on many occasions. We pray again for mercy and grace upon her, Lord, tonight. We think also of Sister Lynn Manili. We pray you'll touch her as well in Jesus' precious name. And any others that need your touch upon them tonight, we ask you'll touch them in Jesus' precious name. Father, give us a context to this text and bless your word to our hearts tonight as we look to you now in Jesus' precious name. And for those that were on holidays or traveling, bless them, be with them, be their portion. And everywhere the truth's preached tonight, give your blessing and stamp of approval in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. In case I forget, don't forget, Thursday night is a prayer and Bible study. And then next Sunday morning, our brother John will be preaching. And Sunday evening, it'll be 7 o'clock next week, just for that one Sunday, because they're using the hall during the daytime. The blood witness that you have eternal life. That's what I want to talk about tonight, the blood witness that you have eternal life. And we saw here God give them this covenant blessing, and God gave them the blood, and they had a lamb according to the number of the people to the house, and it had to be a male lamb, and it had to be killed the 14th day old, and it had to be in the evening. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was the morning and he was the evening sacrifice. In John 19:34, it says this: but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came the rock, blood and water. When the blood and water flowed from the body of Jesus Christ, the significance of the redemptive process was then established for me and you. And just like there was a new beginning in this Old Testament, this was a new beginning of something that God, through a prophet called Moses, set in place for his children, that they were to do this each year. This was to be a remembrance, but this was the beginning of months. This was the beginning of something new that God was going to do. And this beginning of something new had to be carried out each year as a remembrance. The bitter herbs that they ate was to remember them of the bitter hardship they had when they were in Egypt. And tonight, it does us all well if we remember when we served and lived for the devil, and the problems we had and the trouble we had, some of us more than others. I myself was in jail. Maybe nobody else in here was in jail, but I know what I'm preaching about. And that's like the bitter herbs for me. I can remember it well. And I remember well the beginning of beginnings, when the Lord began to move in my life and I began to see Jesus Christ as my Passover lamb. This blood held the sacred power. God had been training the children of Israel to, you know, recognize all along here about the power of the blood. And the power of the blood of Jesus Christ tonight erases our sinful past. It surprises me still, as a pastor, as a preacher of over 30 years, how many Christians and good Christians there is that are still in bondage over sin, because they must never had really had a full impact of a revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because if you really have an impact of a real revelation of the blood of Jesus Christ, you will know that the sins of your past are gone, they're forgiven, they cannot be accounted against you, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And it leaves no sin, but it completely cleanses and makes clear. And you had a beginning. When you got saved, you had a beginning. You had a new start. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you go on from there. 1 John 5 and 6 says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." It's the Holy Spirit that first moved any of us. People said, "Don't know anything about the Holy Spirit." That's not really accurate. No man or woman can be saved if the Spirit of God doesn't move them. It is the Spirit of God that moves a man and moves a woman. And the Bible says, "No man can come unto me except my Father draw him. And no man can know him save to him who the Son will reveal him." It was the Holy Spirit that convicted your conscience of your sin and made you realize you needed to be saved and you needed to come to the Lord. Now that was only the beginning of the Holy Spirit moving on you, but there's a lot more. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's the infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit, and the presence and the majesty of the same Holy Spirit can come on men and women, praise God. The force of God's new beginning comes to pass in our life when we recognize the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. When the blood of an animal was used in the Old Testament, that blood was applied to the altar. Leviticus 1:15, "And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." You see, there was no entering in without the blood. The blood had to be sprinkled, and we could go further. I could show you that the blood was sprinkled seven times. Seven times was the blood sprinkled. And there was no entering in without the sprinkling of the blood. And this earthly priest had to sprinkle the blood at the door of the altar for his own sins and for the sins of the people before he could enter in. But 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ shed his blood once and for all. And there's no one tonight needs to shed any more blood or do any more sacrifices, for this was a complete one and all sacrifice for all mankind. Now the Lord Jesus Christ has become the perfect willing sacrifice, and his blood is applied to us. He has become the very substance that fulfills the just demands of God. And God required just demands, and only Christ could fulfill those just commands of God. His blood has paid the price for our sins. Now here's what I wrote here. The blood brings justification and brings us close to God. Now it amazes me how any preacher can preach and say he doesn't need the blood, he doesn't want the blood, and he's moved on from the blood. Well, to my opinion, he's no message. See, I believe, like C.H. Spurgeon, a man that doesn't preach about the blood of Jesus, never go to hear him twice, for once would be enough. That's my opinion of him. We are in need, not just for our sins to be forgiven, but to be completely justified as a person. So we're not just forgiven, but to be completely justified. And the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to renew our life to that extent to God, because we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. God has paid for us through the blood of his son Jesus. You see, we weren't our own. We belonged to someone else. The devil, through the fall in the beginning, plunged us all into universal separation and condemnation. But as we all die in Adam, remember, we'll all live in Jesus Christ. He paid the price for us. Romans 3, verse 23 to 25 says this: "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace." I want you to hold that word, grace. "Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God have set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." Two words, grace and propitiation. I'm going to look at propitiation first. Propitiation means to appease God. Appeasing God. Christ's atonement done that. There's nothing else could please God. Our own works of righteousness couldn't please God. The Bible's clear. It says there's only one mediator between man and God. Now there's a priest down the road or up the road, wherever they're at. And they claim they're re-offering the Lord. They do that which is known as the act of transubstantiation. They're saying that they're re-offering the Lord Jesus Christ before the people. But Jesus Christ cannot be re-offered, because that would have meant then he didn't fully please God. He didn't fully appease. God wasn't fully appeased. But the Bible says that there was full propitiation made. God was fully appeased through the once for all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And no earthly priest can ever offer him again. He can't be offered again. But he can be accepted. It can be accepted but not re-offered. God was appeased. The blood not only has the power to justify us, but it calls us and draws us closer to him. Because we know that not only is the blood that cleanses from sin, but the life that was in that blood was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit draws us. Now we enjoy a deeper and more intimate relationship with the power to resist sin and to flee from bondage, because we have a great weapon given us as God's people tonight, the blood of the Lamb. And Revelation says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Ephesians 2 verse 12 and 13 says this: that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from a covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the church, by the organization, by the blood of Jesus. The only thing that makes you nigh to God is the blood of Jesus. Want to make that absolutely clear? There's nothing else can bring you closer to God, only the blood of Jesus Christ. Because if you do away with the blood, there's nothing to remove your sins. And because your sins are not removed, it's impossible to come close to God. God's a holy God, a just God. But when our sins are removed, we're in standing with God. We're in a place with God where we can call him Abba Father. And he can call us his children. Amen. He's our Father. And Jesus Christ is our big brother. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. We're heirs with God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. These scriptures show us that when we receive righteousness and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are testifying of the righteousness, not of ours or of a church, but of Jesus Christ. We're testifying of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Here's three things. You can write these down. This is what you can say. When you're testifying of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, this is what we're saying. We're saying we are righteous because he's righteous. We are righteous because he's righteous. Because we're not working with our own righteousness. He's given us his. Amen. Here's number two. We're made holy because he's holy. So we're righteous because he's righteous, and we're holy because he's holy. God's holy, and we're holy because he's holy. Here's number three. We're made worthy because he's worthy. And how many young people's killing themselves today? Because the devil tells them and brainwashes them, you're not worthy, you're not worthy, you're no good, you're no good. None of us is any good. Jesus said there's none good, no, not one. But Jesus Christ was good enough that God accepted him. And he took our place on the cross. And we're good because he's good. Don't you worry any longer about self-acceptance or self-esteem. All of your worth is because of his worth. All of your righteousness and holiness is due to his righteousness and due to his holiness. We're set free from a performance orientation. We don't have to do a performance. We don't have to let on to be something we're not. All we do is accept what he done for us and believe it. And we are righteous because of his righteousness. We are set free from the past and are ready for the new beginning with God. We're in a new beginning. We've already started. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. This journey doesn't end here. It goes the whole way to heaven. Hallelujah. We're going to go and be with the Lord. Romans 4 verse 68. And I love these verses. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And the word impute means to freely give. So God freely give righteousness without works. Verse 7. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man whom the Lord will not impute sin. No sin's imputed unto us. Jesus took it. We believe it. By faith we've come. We're like Martin Luther this evening. Martin Luther, by faith, took it. Hallelujah. A monk of the Augustine order, God delivered and transformed him. Mightily used him. And he wrote a great Bible and everything. Your King James Bible, that's where it originated from, really. From Martin Luther's writing. Don't you know that? In Tyndale. The Tyndale Bible was where your King James Bible's taken from, the Tyndale Bible. And your Tyndale Bible's very similar to your King James Bible. Thank God for the King James Bible tonight. Don't be afraid to rejoice in that you have a real Bible this evening. Praise God. Now here's another thing. The blood gives us grace to reign in life. The blood gives us grace to reign in life. Now listen to this Greek word. The Greek word for grace is charis, which is often described as unearned favor. Unearned favor. None of us earned a favor. None of us were good boys and good girls that we could say to God, well, tell you what, I had a real good week, give me a gold star. Now, I know in school, when I was in school, I hardly ever got a gold star, by the way. Whatever the other stars was, I would have got them. I was usually a bad boy at school. Now, I'm not telling you young ones to be bad. You be good for your teachers. Be your best. Be the best you can. But I wasn't. If they told me one thing, I'd have done the opposite. That's just the way it was. But you see, it doesn't work with God like that. There's nothing you can do to merit favor with God but your works. There's people this evening and they're doing works. They're praying to the dead, which the Bible forbids. They're doing all sorts of works programs. They're saying, I'm a good person, and probably they are. But none of that will save them. It won't save them. Because, you see, this unmerited favor is someone that God gives you. Even though you and me don't deserve it, God gives it to us. That's why it's called unmerited favor. That shows you the real love of God. God so loved the world. John 3:16. And God is love. And I've preached it before, and I preached it over in Australia and New Zealand when I was there. And I know the Lord helped me. God's love doesn't go up and down. Now, she mightn't just make you the right dinner some night, and you mightn't just like her as well as you did the night before she made you a big steak. And your love could go up and down. And then maybe hers would go up and down for you as well. Maybe she didn't get the flowers she was expecting and all the rest of it. But you see, God's love never changes. God's love remains the same. God does not love us so that we love him. But he loved us before we loved him. He loved us when we were unlovable. Amen. And he called us and he chose us even before we were born. From the very foundations of the world, he knew us. Hallelujah. He predestined us to become sons of God. And his Holy Spirit moved us and we came and we believed the message of the cross. And we repented. Repented. Brother sent me a clip the other day of a man, famous singer. And he said a lot of good things, but there's nowhere in what he said he repented. His life continued the same. I want to tell you this evening, when you read this Bible, you show me any man in this Bible when he had an encounter with the angel of the Lord or with the Lord himself, his life changed. Paul the Apostle's life dramatically changed. The first thing he did, he repented. God blinded him. Not only did he blind him, he brought him into a place called Straight. He brought him out of Crooked Street and he put him in Straight Street. Then he led him to a man filled with the Holy Ghost that laid his hands on him. And Paul received his sight, received the Holy Spirit as well. And he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And his life changed. He no more persecuted Christians, but he became a Christian, a Christ follower. Hallelujah. That's what he became. But this business of people living in sin and they still live on the way they're living, but they claim Jesus, is a false profession. You'll know the tree by the fruit that's on it. And you see, we're living in an age where they call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. And an age where the Bible says of all deceivableness, of all unrighteousness. That's the age we're living in. The Lord Jesus warned us. Many false prophets shall come. Many false teachers will come. And many will have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. 1 Timothy 1:14 says this, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That's God's grace, God's favor. God's favor is abundant to you. It's abundant to me. There's people that's no longer on the earth that I come with. They're not here. But the Lord permitted that I'm here. It's God's grace that I'm here tonight. You might know it and think it, but it's God's grace you're here. God's preserved you. God has saved you. And you're here for a reason. And you're here for a purpose. Let me tell you, you were made by him. And you're made for him. And you're made for a reason. And you're made for a purpose to serve the Lord. Through this free gift of grace and righteousness, we will reign in life. Through his blood, we can be overcomers of all things that come against us. Romans 5:17. And I'm not going to be too long this evening, praise God. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in one, but Jesus Christ. Adam knew what he was meant to do, but he'd done the opposite. He failed and he fell. But we know he took Eve with his eyes open. Now, don't believe for one minute they ate an apple. I don't believe that. Now, no people believe that, but there's no scripture for that. There's not even a mention of an apple. We know what original sin was. It was an act committed in the garden. And that's their first act of adultery started right in the Garden of Eden. And they sinned against God. And I tell you then, Adam knew what he was doing, and he took Eve. Knowing what you'd done, he took her because he's a type of Jesus Christ. And me and you were unclean. Think of it now. There's your revelation. She was unclean when he took her. And me and you was unclean, filthy, and unclean. And the Lord took us. Hallelujah. We were domineered by the devil and led by the prince of the power of the air. But Jesus changed us and he took us while we were. Because he loved us. Even in our sinful condition, he loved us. And he took us. Praise God. Through the same grace, we're equipped everything that we need to be generous, fruitful, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. The Lord equips us. Praise God. You know, I got a phone call on Friday evening from Mrs. Bell, the pastor, David Bell's wife from Mountain Lodge, inviting me to come and preach. And it's not to the start of next year because there's so many bookings. And I got that. Now, why I'm telling you, I want you to listen for a moment. I was thinking about Mountain Lodge over this past few weeks. Just thinking about it. I don't know why I was thinking about it. Now I had the book of David Greenall, which mentioned some of the things. And then that lady rang me on Friday. And when she rang me and she got talking to me and asked me to come and when I preached, she was taking the bookings for her husband, David. Well, and I guess them people's almost 70 now. And, you know, she says to me, there was a man used to come here and preach, and he came many times, called Billy McKinstry. Would you know Billy McKinstry? And I said, I would, that was my dad. Now I'm guessing it must have been in the 60s, late 60s or the early 70s that my dad went. So I was thinking all about it, and then the next day I was at Rodney Adamson's house. You know, Mix the Kitchens, Brother Rodney, and he was asking for your Brother John. And Rodney says to me, I don't know how it came round, but he knows David Bell. And him and Rock went up and they helped plaster a place near there. It's another work for drug addicts and stuff. And they helped them plastering it and fixing it. Rodney put a kitchen in it. It's up that part of the country near Mountain Lodge as well. It's not Mountain Lodge, but it's near it. There's a work over there somewhere as well. So I was saying to Rodney about that. And Rodney says, you know, I have a book upstairs. Would you want it? And this is all about the history of Mountain Lodge. It's the full dates, everything, all the history and everything about it, and how they were killed and everything. And there's three of them was murdered by the IRA, many of them injured. And you know, my father prophesied in that church what would happen. And he prophesied in another assembly that see what would happen, the troubles coming in this country many years ago. And the hierarchy of the Pentecostal movement happened to be in that other assembly the morning it was prophesied. And they took him aside and another young man aside and the sages are carried away. These things is only in the Old Testament. They won't happen today, but my dad said they'll happen and you'll live to see it. And they did happen. But they didn't believe it. And I tell you, many people today don't believe when God speaks. Amen. That's the truth. It's like I preached on Thursday night about the Ark of God. They put the Ark out. They didn't respect it. They didn't want it. But everything was in that ark. And everything's in Christ still tonight. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. He still remains the same. But I thought it was someone getting that book, and I read through that book, and it tells you the whole history of it, how it all started. And you know, the Gate Lodge was a wee house that belonged to that property where they first started their meetings. And there was a lord in England owned that. There was 260 acres till it. But a man over near Portydown bought it. And he moved into it, and his wife and children didn't even want to go there to start. And he was a Pentecostal. And he couldn't get an assembly nowhere near him. There was Brethren and Baptists, but they didn't fulfill what he was wanting. And he started to have a meeting, and eventually they knocked the walls down, and that wee lodge was for the worker of the place there. And there's a wee stable. They knocked it all into one room, and they started their meetings. And then eventually they built the wee wooden hut. And one night a young girl came to it, and her boyfriend burned it to the ground. And the smoke was up over the country. And Bob Baines was then song leading by that stage of the program. And they went to Bob Baines and they said, "There's fire in the mountain." And Bob Baines said, "Praise God, we need fire." And they said, "But Bob, the hut's burning. It's real fire." He says, "We need real fire. Praise God, we need fire," he says. And they got up and the place was burnt to the ground. So they met in another wee place. There's a picture of it all in this book. They met in another wee place. It was like a cattle shed. They met in it for 11 months. And they prayed. And it now go back. This is the late 60s. And every member of the congregation gave £100 each. And there was a company at the time were building cabins. And you know how they come to get the cabin? One of the members of the congregation dreamed a dream. And they dreamed of a cabin made out of the wood. And the thing that struck him in the dream, the boards were upwards, they weren't longwards. And the man then was famously known in this country for building cabins. They got them, and they built them the wee church cabin for £2,000 then. And God provided for it. But £2,000 then would be a lot of money nowadays, when you think back in the late 60s, and God provided it. And it tells you all about the move of God, but you know the thing they had which is lacking? Prayer. They were hungry for prayer. And I tell you, there's one wee woman tells of her story. She's only a young girl. And she says there was real powerful prayer meetings. Powerful prayer meetings. And the meetings were that powerful. And people was that powerful in prayer. There's one fellow one night, he went, he says, "Can I pray?" Because nobody had let him pray. Everybody was praying, and he couldn't get praying. And somebody outside the window says, "Aye, you can pray in a minute." And they were outside. And that's the true story what was told at Mountain Lodge. And they had prayer meetings every night of the week. Every night they had prayer meetings. And that's how the work started. Then they began to have meetings. And David Greeno preached up there a lot. He's mightily used of the Lord, David Greeno, in them days. And there's other great men as well from England and all came as well. And that wee man that was a prophet from the Moy. What was his name again? John Reed, he's in that book. And his picture's in that book. He was known as the prophet from the Moy. But they had a hunger for prayer. And I tell you, brethren, tonight, that's what's lacking today. And people talk about the day, why God's not doing this? Because there's no prayer. Christians are not interested in praying. And it almost takes God to get them some problems to get them to pray. Is that the truth? That's absolutely the truth. To see them, every one of us. I'll tell you, I know my own self, when I get into a few difficulties, whether it's financial or whatever, you know you have to hit the upper room. You have to get on your knees. You have to call upon the Lord. It's like Laurie says, you can't depend on anything, only the Lord. But when you pray, God answers. And they were a praying church. And I tell you, I would to God that this assembly would become a praying assembly. And I know we pray, but we could pray more. We could pray more. And I'm going to tell you another thing. And some people might like to say this. It won't make no difference to me either. I'm going to tell you it anyhow. There's missions in this country everywhere. There's missions. A week of missions here, and a week of missions there, and a week of missions somewhere else. But you very seldom hear of a week of prayer meetings. You hardly ever hear of a week of prayer meetings. And I'm going to tell you another thing. Them meetings, the fire of God was in them. They were Pentecostal. They were Pentecostal meetings. And you either joined them or stayed clear. Amen. The Bible says no one could add to the work except God. And it's God that adds to the work, isn't it? Now, I know I've got a way off the subject tonight, but you're not matter anyhow. But I tell you, I would to God that we would become a people of prayer. people of prayer.
You know, when you look back at Ian Paisley, and everybody looks at Ian Paisley, he was a great preacher. You think Ian Paisley is a free peak church every time. The Goddards moved at one point. But then there's a wee woman in Belfast, when I worked in Belfast, and she says, "Brother Tom, let me tell you, when Ian Paisley was a young man, him and several other men began to pray. And they prayed all night long. And the milk pot said, the milk pot was down the next morning, that's along the prayer. And they're still praying. And when they went back in amongst the people they went in amongst, they were afraid he had become some type of a Pentecostal, because he was shouting glory and hallelujah. And they done their best to quieten him down, didn't they? But I tell you, we don't need quietened. We need aroused.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah! Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
We need the fire of God. We need to get a hunger and a thirst for praying. It's like training. It's like training. The faith muscle's the same as a natural muscle. You know, you take on an exercise, say for press-ups, for example. You know, there's a thing not long back and they put out during the lockdown, 10 press-ups a day. And those fellas could hardly do 10 press-ups a day. Now, I know I'm a right big lump of a lad tonight, but these fellas can tell you, I could do 50 press-ups. Still, easy. They're no bore for me at all, though I'm heavy. But somebody that's never used doing a press-up, 10 press-ups is hard for them. It's tough. But if they'd done them 10 press-ups every night for about 2 weeks, they would find they'd become easier. And I tell you, I know it's not works, but the Bible commands us to pray. The Bible tells us we're to pray often. The Bible tells us we're to seek the face of the Lord. The Bible says we're to meet often. These things are scriptural. We need to train the praying muscles. Like our brother John quoted in his prayer, to start they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The walk will not be weary, the run will not faint. Let's become men and women of prayer. And I tell you, there's a prayer meeting, we need to be in it. Because that's where you're going to be praying. Let's come and gather and pray in the name of the Lord. That God will move. We need a move of God. We've all children that need saved. I have children. I want to see them saved. I want to see the Holy Spirit grip them. Get a hold of them and save them. Let's stand our feet tonight. Praise God. I'm excited. Didn't think I'd be so excited after 37 years, but I'm still excited about the things of God. I'm glad. I'm excited. Are you excited tonight? You're glad you're saved? Amen. Thank God we're not in jail tonight. We've come out of Egypt. We're free. Let's bow our heads this evening. If you're in need tonight, lift your hand up before the Lord. Well, every head's bowed, every eye closed. God bless you. God bless you this evening. Praise God. And you pray for me as I pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word of truth. You said ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Be no longer entangled again by the yoke of bondage. Oh God, keep us free from the yoke of bondage. Lord, the word of God says when Moses came of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was separated for the work. God, I pray that you'll bring the spirit of intercessory prayer upon your people once again. May the fire of God come upon us, I pray. May the Holy Ghost breathe afresh the breath of God over every one of us tonight. May you fill our bosoms afresh with the fire and the power of God, so that when we meet our fellow man, there'll be a boldness in each one of us. That we'll tell them we've been to Jesus and we're not the same. Lord, tonight for the hands raised, you know every need. Father, I pray you'll meet every need. You'll answer prayer on behalf of each and every one in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray again for John's granddaughter. You pray you'll continue to touch her and strengthen her and bless her and move upon her mightily, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless the whole family, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Father, for every son and every daughter representative in this house tonight, we claim every one of them under the blood of Jesus Christ. We speak over them this evening. We pray you'll send your word and deliver them. In Jesus' precious name. Touch them all this evening. Touch the father. Touch the boy, the girl. Heal, save, and deliver. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, we need your spirit to move us. Oh God, what can we do of our own esteem? But I pray you'll help us. I pray you'll move us. I pray you'll breathe again afresh on us the fire and the breath of Almighty God. Move us again, I pray, Lord, in this land. Give us backbone. Give us boldness. Give us the fear of God that bringeth godly repentance. In Jesus' precious name. Father, tonight bless each one in this house. Pray for the mothers, for the children, for each one. You'll bless them, strengthen them. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one this evening. God bless you, as a brother Mark.
Amen. We'll sing number 48 in the Red Book. My Saviour suffered on the tree. Glory to the bleeding lamb. Come and praise the Lord with me. Glory to the bleeding lamb.
Glory to the bleeding.